You're listening to a message from Christian Life Ministries in Coventry, a dynamic, growing church in the heart of the nation. We pray that God will speak to you through this word and impact your life for His glory.
Brilliant. Thank you. You can grab your seats. Thank you. It is good here, isn't it? No, it's really good. You know, when you go to a good church, you can kind of take it a bit for granted. You can be like, oh, it's good. It's great here. I love it. I obviously travel around the country, go to lots of different kinds of churches, and some of them are not that good, yeah? You get up and you're like, oh. Recently, I had to get up and preach after a guy led worship on a banjo. A banjo. Banjos will not be in heaven, will they? No, they will not be in heaven. And this sound was not godly that this man was making. It was like, whoa, it was great. Well, amazing. And my wife's called Tamsin. And I've got a son called Jordan. And I've got a new son. My daughter's got married. And my new son's called Gideon. And Gideon is from Nigeria. And, Yes, and I did not realize what world I was getting into when, wow, all you need to do is mention jollof rice, yeah, and whoa, it kicks off, yeah, it absolutely kicks off. And so I was kind of having a bit of fun with my new son-in-law, and I was like saying, well, I think I'm going to try Ghanaian jollof rice because I've heard that that's better than Nigerian jollof rice. And, okay, hallelujah, let's, things have got out of control, hallelujah. People more passionate about rice than they were about Jesus. But no, it's absolutely amazing. And actually tonight I'm going to be telling you, because some funny things happened at my daughter's wedding. I'm going to be telling you all about that. It's going to be lots of funny stories. It's going to be a lot of humor. And so I'd love for you to come along tonight. It's going to be a great night. It's just like a comedy show, but then we just weave the message in, and we're just loving it. God's doing amazing things. So, you know, I'd love it if you could get here tonight. Make sure you grab someone. But even if you can't grab, you know, still come. If no one can come with you, still come, because I need people in the room that are laughing and enjoying themselves to create a great atmosphere. But whatever you do, don't bring that, like, Christian fake laugh, yeah? You know when you're laughing but you're helping the guy on the stage, yeah? You're like, ha, 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 ha. That does not go well for me, yeah? People are like, oh. So, no, it's going to be proper fun. So it's going to be good. So I'm pretty excited to be talking in this series, I love it, about these different characters, five people who encountered risen Jesus. And I'm excited because I'm going to be talking to you about Peter. And I can relate really well with Peter, because Peter was that guy that would often put his mouth in first and then his brain in a little bit later, yeah? And I'm that guy, yeah? I mean, I say a lot of things that I go, oh, if only I'd kind of use my brain first, we wouldn't be in this trouble. And then I love it because it's also interesting that all the different people that you have been looking at over the last few weeks that meet Jesus, maybe Peter's one of those that was a little bit awkward about meeting Jesus. You know, because many of you know that he had really let Jesus down. He had denied Jesus 3 times. And he had failed. And in Jesus' greatest moment of need, Peter messed up. And imagine that moment when he then looks at Jesus in the eye. And we're going to look at that for a minute in John chapter 21 and verse 15. This is what the Bible says. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Wow. Jesus and Peter on the beach. You see, I'm going to be talking today about living in freedom. And I want to start off by telling you that, wow, Jesus brings freedom from past failure. Freedom from past failure. Peter felt like a failure. Peter felt like he'd messed up. Peter felt like, I am rubbish. This is gone bad. And you know, most of us, we can relate to that. Most of us in this room, we know that we fail. We know that we've messed up. You don't need a Scottish guy to come and tell you how you are a failure. Many of us, we rehearse our failures. Many of us, we go over and over them in our mind. We underline them. We think about them. We are like always got them in the center of our mind. We don't need this preacher to tell us that we fail sometimes. But what we do need to understand is that Jesus brings freedom from past failure. And it's like, wow, I know that I mess up. But I want you to understand this. Is failure is an event. It's not a person. You see, it's something you do, not something you become. It's something you do, not something you become. You are not a failure. Yeah, you've maybe messed up. Yeah, you've maybe done things you wish you'd never done. Yes, maybe you've got regrets that feel difficult to get rid of. But let me tell you, you are not a failure. You have messed up, but Jesus can walk you through that failure. Hallelujah. I mess up in lots of different ways. And I've had to get to the point to realize that I'm not a very good driver. My wife, Tamsin, she passed her driving test first time. First time. Someone else has cheered. Who's cheering first time? Yeah, look at these guys. So smug, yeah? And first time. I passed fourth time. Well, you judgmental crowd. Fourth time. It's embarrassing. I've had to come and realize I'm not an amazing driver. I go to all these different places and, you know, I'm different churches. And, you know, they're so honoring and respectful. And often there's a member of staff or an intern waiting for me. And I come in my car and they're like, oh, Pastor Mark, we've got you a space. And they show me the space. And I'm in my car. I am not getting in that space. You know what I'm saying? I am not. And then, you know, I'm back and I'm in and I'm out and I'm trying. And honestly, about five times, I've had a young 18-year-old intern just goes, Mark, would you like me to park your car for you? And I've been like, yes, that would be amazing, but let's sign a contract that you cannot tell anyone in the church that that has happened. One lovely intern was watching me go in, out, and they just like went to the window and I pulled my window down and they went, oh, Pastor Mark, do you think you might want to try something a bit different? Because you just keep on doing the same thing over and over again. That is like the loveliest, most polite way of saying, you're a terrible driver. Yeah? You're a terrible driver. But, you know, in our house, my wife passes first time, and it's like, oh, you know, and she's good at everything. But then we had, like, we got a dog, we got a little beagle, and then she did, like, a little kind of, like, doggy test. She did, like, training and a test at the end, and she failed it. And, oh, no, not oh. We were absolutely delighted, yeah? We were like, there was a celebration in the Ritchie family because we were like, finally, she's failed at something, yeah? But, you know, of course, we can smile and we have our failings and there's things that we fail at that actually don't really hold too much consequence. But I know that in a room like this, many of us, we failed at things that are deep and we feel real, true pain. I know that there'll be somebody in the room and you've got regret. You've hurt someone that you feel sad that you hurt them. I know that there's people in the room, you wish you'd never looked at that stuff. You wish you'd never got involved with that thing. You wish you'd never done some of that. And we can feel deeply, deeply like failure. We can sense it in our heart. But, you know, I want you to understand is that, you know, I want you to view failure a little bit different. I think a lot of people view failure like a brick wall. They hit a wall. And the picture, they hit the wall and they crumple to the bottom of the wall and they curl up and they just feel like life has ended and they just feel like they're never going to be able to get back up from that failure. I want you to understand that failure is not the end. Failure is not the end. It's the beginning of an absolutely wonderful and incredible journey. That it's not so much a wall, but I want you to think of failure as a little bit like stairs. I want you to imagine that you fall down those stairs. And of course, you get bruised and you get hurt. And you feel like everything's gone. But actually, this story helps us to realize that Jesus, he comes and so gently and so tenderly, he comes along and he takes our hand and he helps us to begin to walk up those stairs again and that we can actually be free from past failure. We do not need to be at the bottom of a wall feeling like that's the end. It's all done for me. There's nothing left for me. I am in a crumpled mess. No, 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 no. Today you can allow Jesus to come. And he takes your hand gently and he says, let me walk you back up the stairs. You see, my granddad, when he was about 75, 76 years old, he was shaving in the bathroom of the house and basically the floor gave way. And he had a drop of about 6 feet and he found himself at the bottom in all this rubble, absolutely an old gentleman, completely having had such a fall, horrendous. But he always talks about the fact that when the emergency services turned up, when the fire brigade came, the fireman that gently helped him and took his hand and helped him to get out of that pit and into the light. And wow, how he managed to get him up out of that mess. You see, my friend, this is what Jesus did with Peter. Peter feels like he's in a pit of mess. He feels like he's done it now. He was rubbish when Jesus needed him the most. He was rubbish. He denied Jesus. He swore. He just said, I've got nothing to do with him. He had absolutely failed. And wow, what happens is this, that Jesus tenderly and gently takes his hand and walks him up into the light. And you know what? Today, we can have freedom from past failure because Jesus comes and he takes your hand and he actually walks you out of whatever pit of destruction you feel you're in and he walks you up into the light of freedom. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, not only did Peter understand freedom from past failure, but Peter also understood freedom from comparison. You see, just a little bit later in the verses that we read a minute ago, there's Peter. It just amazes me about Peter. He's just had this encounter with Jesus on the beach. And then in verse 21, he's saying, What about this man? And he's pointing to another disciple. And he's comparing himself to the disciple. And Jesus is like saying, never mind about him. You stay in your lane. You do what I've called you to do. You see, friends, I'm going to be honest with you. Comparison is something that many of us feel stuck in. We get stuck in comparison. I think probably in 2024 that the much of anxiety comes through people comparing themselves to other people. That we look at what others are doing and we start to feel absolutely like terrible. And we think, it's not any good. We're looking, you know, I wanted to tell you about my own. I love to be honest and vulnerable. Sometimes people think, preachers on the stage, they're the man or the woman of God. And they think, they never mess up. But this is something that's real for me. I got stuck in comparison. I was asked to preach down south at a big, huge, massive event, 10,000-12,000 young people, and I got invited to speak. And I was pretty excited, and I put my sermon together, and I felt like God had given me something good to say, and I was driving down the M1 on my way there. And as I was on my way there, my phone pinged, and it was a friend who was already at that conference. And he says, Mark, the preacher last night was absolutely anointed. He was so funny. He was awesome. The people absolutely loved him. It was incredible. And I'm driving down and my head starts going, yeah? And I'm start thinking, that guy's a much better preacher than me. That guy's really good. That guy's funny. That guy's a load more charismatic than me. He's much more anointed. He's much more gifted. And I started all this comparison with this guy. And then I was just like, my head was totally wobbling off. I was like, I'm going to get up. And as soon as they hear I'm Scottish, they're all going to start booing, yeah? I got it all going on in my mind. Man, what are you doing? And I'm driving down. I'm thinking, right, the next opportunity I can take off this motorway, I'm going to take it off and I'm going to zip round and I'm going to head back home and I'm going to throw a sickie. I'm going to tell them I'm ill. I'm telling you, a sickie from my youth conference. What is that? I'm like telling me I'm ill. I can't make it down. My mind had gone completely. I was comparing myself to somebody else. And then as I was driving, I just remember this moment where I had a real proper word to myself. I went, Mark, you are going to stop at the next services. You're going to have a magnum ice cream and you're going to have a proper word with yourself, yeah? And I went and I got a magnum. That's an important part of the story. And I had a proper word to myself. And as I sat in my car, I says, Mark, you have been appointed for this moment. God has asked you to do this. You have got everything you need for this preach. And come on. And I tell you, I went down there and God was kind and God anointed me and we saw incredible things. And I thought, wow, God, I want to be free from this comparison. And I want to encourage you that you be free from comparison. You see, I want to chat practical for a minute. I want to chat practical. I want to chat about social media. You see, social media is a hive of activity when it comes to comparison. It absolutely exists to make you compare yourself with other people. You know, you go on there, you're feeling pretty good about yourself, you go on there, and then, you find out about, they look better than me. They've got better clothes than me. Maybe you like came to church this morning feeling good and then, they go on better holidays. Maybe somebody's gone to Greece and you're thinking, great, yeah. Glad you had a great time. And maybe, just a joke. And, but you know, it's like we compare and we start going through in our social media. You know, I know church leaders that go on social media Sunday afternoon. They're praising God for everything that's happened. And then they see what's happening with the other churches and the other leaders. And then we compare ourselves with like our mates and our friends. And we like make assumptions. You know, I'm there on social media, and I'm looking, oh, wow, this couple that we know, and they're there, and they look amazing in this picture. And I'm going, oh, look at them. They look incredible. Look at them. They look like they never argue. How can you get that from a picture? They're just standing there, and I'm like, oh, look at them. They never argue. We're always arguing. It's like, what is this? Is this comparison, comparing ourselves all the time, comparing ourselves how well we feel like we're doing. And Jesus wants us to be free from comparison. He wants to say to you that you've got to run your race. You've got to stay in your lane. You've got to do what you were asked to do and do it to the best that you can do it. Praise the Lord. God's designed and designated you a lane because he knows what you should be doing. And you need to run and do it. You see, I realize that social media is like a hive of activity when it comes to comparison. And, you know, I don't know if we can stick it up on the screen, but, you know, if you were to go into a beehive, if you don't want to be stung, don't go into a beehive unprotected. Don't go into a beehive in your pants because you're going to get stung. That makes sense, doesn't it? And so I want to encourage us that don't go into our social media. You see, if you go into a beehive unprotected, you're going to get stung. If you go into social media unprotected, you're going to get your heart stung by comparison. So I would encourage you to put some boundaries around your social media. Maybe someone can hear my voice today and you know you need to have a month fasting social media. May. Take May off. Maybe for some of us we need to say, I'm not going to look at social media after 7:30 at night. Maybe somebody else is going to say, do you know what? If I'm going to go on social media, I need to pray before I go on. I need to give myself a time limit and I'm going to stay on for 10 minutes and then I'm going to get off. You see, I've got boundaries around my social media use because I don't want to get stung by comparison. I don't want to be comparing myself to these different people. Peter, come on, Peter. Stop comparing yourself to the other disciple and be the man of God you are called to be. And God gently speaks to your soul and says, come on, stop comparing yourself. And be the person you were asked to be. See, not only is freedom from past failure, not only freedom from comparison, but I love this, freedom for purpose. Freedom for purpose. You know what I love about this story is that Peter's messed up and Jesus walks him from that pit into the light. But I love the fact that Peter does not just get his hair muffled by Jesus and Jesus says, oh, do you know what? You've messed up, but, you know, hang out with us. No, 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 no. That is not what happens. Jesus doesn't just say, oh, well, because you kind of messed up, you're now going to have to take a little lower seat at the table. No, 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 no. When Jesus brings freedom to you, he brings freedom so that you can be everything that you were created to be. Peter is in his full purpose. Let me say it like this. Our past does not disqualify us from our future. Yeah. Our past does not disqualify us from our future. Oh, you're maybe sitting here today and the stuff that's going on in the past. And you're thinking, well, that's me done. Here we are in a church. Believe in the words of Jesus, that Jesus is the Lord of the second chance, that you can be everything you were created to be because he wants to free you for purpose. So, wow, Peter, oh, wow. Peter is not playing a low character that we never hear about again. Wow, 2 months later, after this moment on the beach, he is preaching one of the greatest sermons in Christianity and saw 3,000 people get saved. That Peter has gone from this moment on the beach of looking at the ground and thinking, what have I done? to like Jesus walking them to his purpose. And there he is in the center place doing exactly what he was created to be. Oh, I'm going to get excited for a couple of minutes. I know we're coming towards the end. I know that because somebody else is on the stage with me, yeah? And it's lovely to see you. Thank you for coming. That's what my wife does when she wants me to stop talking now. Yeah, she sits at the keyboard and starts to play. I want you to know this, is that when I was praying, I honestly believed that there are people in this room, and I kept getting this thing about politics, that there's somebody in the room that, you know, God is going to use you. And God is going to put you in the center of your purpose. I believe that there are people in this room that God's maybe going to put a business idea in your heart. And wow, it's going to fly. And there's maybe a book in your spirit. Maybe there's a song in your soul that God wants to take you and use you. He doesn't want you to be stopped by failures in the past. He doesn't want you to stop because you've messed up. No, he's like, I want you to be free for purpose, to be everything you're created to be. So I wanted to give everyone a gift. So I wanted to imagine I've got your gift. In the car park, there's a Ferrari, a Porsche for you. Wow. A lot of people starting to pay attention now, yeah? People that were like not bothered a minute ago, they're like, okay, this is good. This is the kind of church I want to belong to, yeah? Where the preacher gives away Ferraris. There's a Ferrari, a Porsche for you. It's a beautiful, brand new Ferrari that can do 80 miles, 100 miles, 120 miles an hour. What a car. And it's all for you. But it's one little snag, one little condition. There's also a dirty, big, horrible, massive, long caravan. You've got to drag that caravan everywhere you go. It's hooked up to your car, and you've got to take it everywhere you go. You would be like, oh, man, this is made for speed, and it's been dragged back by this. You see, God has created you for incredible and wonderful and powerful things. He has designed you for tremendous, tremendous things. But we hook ourselves up with all this feeling of past failure, with all these feelings of inadequacy, with all this stuff about she's better than me, he's better than me. Jesus wants to come today. He says, we want to be free from all that. That you don't need to drag this caravan of nonsense anywhere else. But you can be the Ferrari, the Porsche that you were designed to be. And wow, scream into the future, being all that God chose you to be. So we're going to just bow our heads in the presence of God. And as we're in God's presence right now, I don't want to mess around. I feel that God's presence has been so real all morning. And I sense him here. And what I'm going to do is simple. I'm going to say that I believe that there are some people. You feel like you've hit that wall of failure. You feel like you're crumpled up and you're like, you felt like failure is the end. And in this moment today, we're going to be like Jesus comes. And he takes your hand and he walks you out of the pit into the light. And you're going to know what it is to be free from your past failure. So what I'm going to simply do is this. I'm going to pray and I'm going to count to three. And on three, if that's you, wherever you're sitting, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to pray that today freedom would come from you. That your past is no longer going to hold you back. Lord, we sense your presence. We know that you bring freedom. We ask that people would do tremendous business with you now. In Jesus' name. So if that's you today, wherever you are,
every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Then on three, wherever you are, I'm going to ask you to stand and I'm going to pray over you today. Hallelujah. One, two, three. That's good. That's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for my friends who are brave to stand right now. I want to thank you, Lord, for my friends who have taken courage to stand and say that they feel past failure has been like an end. But Lord, I want to pray over them right now that just as you did with Peter, that you gently walked him into the light, that we can know freedom from our past, freedom from our failures, freedom from our mess. And I speak over my friends right now that freedom would come, that freedom would come, and that they would know in a wonderful and beautiful way what it is to know the freedom that they can be all that they were created to be. That nothing that has happened in the past can imprison them. Nothing that's happened in the past can chain them down. Nothing that's happened in the past can hold them back from everything that you've got for them. I speak freedom over their hearts right now in Jesus' name. Church, I wonder if we could all stand in the presence of God. If you feel comfortable in a moment, I'm going to invite you that you would raise your hands towards God. Because I've got a prayer that you would feel free in your purpose. That these things that God has put in my heart, they're in the room. Maybe it's politics, business, book, song. Maybe you've got something going on that God sent. Do you know what? I want you to be free to live in the full purpose that I've created for you. If you feel okay, why don't you raise up your hands to heaven? Holy God. Holy God. Thank you, Lord, that Peter didn't just get by after his mess, but you took him into victory. Oh, Lord, you took him into success. Thank you, Lord, that whatever's gone on in the past, we are not defined by that. But, Lord, that we can know what it is to be free for purpose. And we pray anointing on us as we move forward. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.